Let us bow our heads and our hearts as we go before our God in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you again that we can be in your holy and awesome presence, that we can worship you as your people, Lord. We thank you for your holy word that you have given to us, Father. We thank you that you have given to us purpose in this life. In Christ, we are those who have been made your people, and you have given us treasures that are vast and eternal. And Father, we thank you for these riches, and we thank you that you continue to feed us and nourish us. We thank you that we can worship you. We pray, Father, that you would keep our hearts and our minds focused and pure as we read and listen to your word preached. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us as your people, that you would make us strong again, that you would renew us, that you would feed us, that we might have food for life, for the week to come. Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive it. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work among each one of us powerfully. Lord, we know that without you, we are dead, we are deaf, we are dumb. And you are the one who puts life in us. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to minister to us as only you can. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, we turn in God's Word to the book of James, chapter 3. James chapter 3. James is found right after the book of Hebrews. We want to read the entire chapter this afternoon, but we want to focus on from verse 13 to verse 18. The Word of God. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So far the reading of the Word of God. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we will be considering from God's Word, James chapter 3, verse 13 to the end of the chapter. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at God's Word together. In Telqua, we've been working through the book of James, and this is the last sermon I preached there, so this is what is yet fresh in my mind, so to speak. Verse 13 begins, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" James has just begun laying out before these people. We think about some of the themes of the book of James. He's just been talking about the use of the tongue. And now, interestingly, afterwards, the next thing that he follows it up with is this theme of wisdom. And he begins with this question, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" Here's a question to think about for ourselves. Imagine if you had to answer this question, who would you put down for a name or names? All the wise people that you've looked up to in your life. Who would be the top 10? And why would you put those names down? James here, he isn't looking for a list of names. Who is wise and understanding among you? Instead, he wants us to be directed to think about the true nature, the true definition of wisdom. What is the criteria for godly wisdom as the people of God? What should it look like? James begins by saying, "Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." We consider this afternoon this passage with this theme, conducting ourselves in the meekness of wisdom. And we will first look at it in its negative aspect as James lays that out before us, and then we will look at the positive side of wisdom. God wants us, young people, older people, all of us, people of God, He wants us to be seekers of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom, we think, wisdom's knowing a lot. Who would be the top 10 people who might fit this category of wisdom? Well, maybe that one person or these people who know a lot about different kinds of things. They have a vast amount of accumulated knowledge. Who's the biggest guru with the most encyclopedic knowledge in his mind? But James here, he's talking, as we think about wisdom, it's not about just knowledge. Because he begins here by saying, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" What does he say here in that verse afterward? "Let him show." Let him show. Let him show. That emphasis on showing. "Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." One of the main themes of James is faith without works is dead. James says the Christian life, true faith, is something that is acted out. It is lived out, and it is to be lived out with this wisdom. James is kind of, people have compared it to the book of Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom, a New Testament book of wisdom. And here in the Word of God, God is telling us to show our wisdom. It's not just living up in our ivory towers, being filled with theological knowledge. No, as children, with the amount of knowledge that God has given to us, we are to walk in wise ways, in a beautiful way. And this command, this what James says here, "let him show," that word is a command. It's in the imperative. It's something that we must do. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Now we enter into, we will get back to some more of these same themes, but verse 14, James shows us what demonic wisdom, what worldly wisdom looks like. But if you have, it reads, bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. James is saying, maybe some of you think that you are wise. Maybe some of you think that you've arrived in your knowledge, in your understanding of what it means to be a Christian. And you can think that you're a big guru on all these issues, but if it's not lived out in your life, watch out. And he begins here by focusing on this theme of envy, bitter envy, and selfish ambition. This word bitter envy has the meaning of having a harsh zeal. You think you're wise? We need to examine our hearts. I examine my heart. You examine your heart. What is in there? What motivates it? What is the driving force in my life? As we live out of our true faith, what am I being driven by? Do you find that you can't stand to see others in the possession or in the position that you would desire? That's bitter envy. Do you experience an inner frenzy at what you see and set yourself against those who you envy? And this is all as we think about what the Word of God has been showing to us in this chapter, this whole theme of the tongue and its demonic use to set whole forests on fire, so to speak. For many, bitter envy can become the driving force in their lives. And it's not the way of wisdom. And James wants God's people, God wants His people to be directed in this wise way. He says, do not boast about it or deny the truth. In other words, stop claiming that your bitter envy, that your jealousy, that your party spirit is a result of God's wisdom, that it can be aligned with the truth. James is reproaching us. He's coming down on our nerves, challenging us, challenging those who would presume to be wise. Oh, we go to the right church. We got all this, all our doctrines in a row. We got everything figured out. Who is wise and understand? Oh, we're wise. We're here. We're not over there. We're here. But the Word of God challenges us. Though we may claim to be wise in doing God's work, but if we are inwardly driven by pride, if we are inwardly driven by envy, look out. Young people, often in our hearts, our sinful flesh can at times be filled with this bitterness, this bitter envy toward our parents. Maybe we aren't happy with the decisions that they've made for us or the discipline that we've received. Or we may think, well, they just don't understand us. And we look at our friends and we see that, oh, I wish I was over here, not here in this home. And our hearts become filled with this kind of bitterness. And it grows like a cancer. What is happening is that your life is not being controlled by the wisdom of God. Something evil is happening to your heart. And lies become something that become very natural more and more. It says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Bitterness is never open to the truth. It's always selfish. It's always something that we hold in, isn't it? When we think about in our own hearts, when people have done things to us, it's something that we covet. We covet bitterness. It's not something we want to release. When we are filled with bitterness, we don't know how to love. Scripture says love believes all things. When someone, if I'm bitter towards someone and someone says something to me, that person says something to me, I always read it in the worst possible. I always read between the lines in the negative, rather than believing all things. At home, in our families, this is such a critical thing. Think about this. Think about your relationship between you and your parents, between you and your siblings, between you and your spouse. In marriage, little things can irritate you. How do you deal with those? Do you let that bitterness rise up? Do you take that to your heart and seek to hold it there? Such envy turns very quickly into bitterness. What is the character of this as we read on? Verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Earthly, sensual, demonic. It's this procession of getting worse. Earthly, sensual, demonic. This is, when we think about this, this is strong stuff, isn't it? Strong words that God is warning us. God is warning us, people of God, be warned of this danger in our hearts. As you have this, the opportunities when these things arise, take care, take caution. Don't let these things dwell in there, but seek to confess your sins. In each one of our lives, we need to guard against these things. My nature tells me, this is what my nature tells me. My nature tells me when someone sins against me, what am I going to do? What are you going to do? My nature says, I'm going to hold it here. I'm going to hold it here. This is my chip. I'm not going to give that up. I'm going to hold it here so that I have something against you. I can hold this against you. That's what our natures tell us. But Matthew 18 tells us if your brother sins against you, go to him. But my nature and each one of our natures says, no, he knows where I live. I'm not going to go to him. He knows my phone number. He knows where I live. I'm right here. And then this bitterness and envy can grow. And we begin with our tongues even to speak against these people. Those flame-throwing tongues that ignite and destroy relationships. And that's why James says this is earthly, sensual, demonic. It's deadly. It's of our old father, the devil. Verse 16 moves on, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find, another translation, disorder and every evil practice. When we think about envy, another word, jealousy, do you look at that as something being a serious thing? A serious sin in your own heart? Or is it something that you're content to leave alone? To leave it undealt with? The fruit of this is disorder and every evil practice. Confusion. James is going to lead us to peace. When he talks about the new kind of wisdom in God that Christ gives, there's peace. But here, without, in this demonic wisdom, there is brokenness. There is confusion. There is not clear communication back and forth. There is disorder. strife. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." This kind of bitterness prevents relationships from flourishing. Oh, we can think that we are wise. We know our catechism. We know our theology. We know our doctrine. We come to church. But the direction of the Word of God here is teaching us to be seekers of this wisdom and to be warned of these very demonic ways of thinking, of living. God's Word can be read in our homes, but it needs to be practiced with wisdom. Let Him show, James says. We need to grow in wisdom. We may think, oh, jealousy, it's a small sin. It's a silent sin. We need to take this seriously. Have I been living my life in response to some bitterness that I have towards some other people, towards my parents, to family members? Am I jealous of the way that my friend looks? He's stronger, she's better looking, he has a better job, he's getting more money. Am I bitter because this person is dating and I'm not? They're married, I'm not. Or I'm married and I wish I had someone better. Jealousy comes on many, many different levels. It creates disorder. It creates instability. It is the fruit of an unthankful heart, isn't it? And it is a chisel that the devil uses to undermine our relationships. It's a scary thing. And God wants us to be scared. He wants us to have a good look at this. And if we let our lives, brothers and sisters, be consumed in this way, it's not a way of peace. It's not a way of wisdom. We may have lots of knowledge, but not be able to put it into practice. But God wants us to walk in a beautiful way. He wants us to know that monster. But He also wants us to know the rich jewels, the rich crown of the wisdom that we have in Christ. Verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield." The wisdom from above. Very interesting. The wisdom that is from above. The wisdom that we have, brothers and sisters, is not from the here and now, from this world. That's the earthly kind of wisdom that we've been warned about. The wisdom that we have is from God, from Christ. It comes in the gospel. And this is why the wisdom that we have as brothers and sisters is a wisdom that is filled with this sense of humility. Because we know that everything that has been given to us has been given to us even when we don't deserve a single thing. It comes from knowing our sinful position as undeserving creatures who Christ has poured His rich life and blood into. Think about that. Think about who we are outside of Christ. We fit into this category outside of Christ of earthly, sensual, demonic. And yet God, in His grace, would seek to pour these beautiful treasures into you and me. A humbling wonder. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness, in the humility of wisdom. It is God's work in us. One of the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is this fruit of meekness, of humility. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said, for they will inherit the earth. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. Another word for gentle is meek. Humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This beautiful crown of wisdom is a crown filled with jewels. And James here lists some of these jewels as we have them before us. The first one that he has is pure. Remember, these are jewels that come from above to us. Purity, meaning undefiled. And it is very significant that James lists this first jewel. He puts purity at the beginning in the crown of wisdom. The wisdom that comes from heaven. Picture this wisdom coming from heaven to us. Purity teaches us that we are to make perfect, to seek purity in our moral and our spiritual lives in every aspect. The Christian who lives, who seeks to live in this wisdom, can ask no better question regarding his thoughts, words, and actions and devotion than saying, am I pure? Is this a pure thing? Who is wise? Is what I'm doing, is that a pure thing to be doing? Is it wise to be in this place? Is it wise to be doing this kind of business? Do I consume pure things with my eyes, with my mind? Wisdom is first of all pure. The second one that he lists is peace-loving or peaceful. It doesn't mean that when we think of the word peaceful in verse 17, or peaceable as it is here, very often we can think, well, what does that mean to be peaceful? If I'm walking in a wise way, I'm supposed to be a peaceful person. Does that mean I'm a pushover? Does that mean for the sake of peace we don't deal with the issues of sin? No. We do deal with these things. True peace seeks peace. True wisdom seeks peace through Christ, through confession, through forgiveness, through reconciliation. If you want to seek peace in your relationships, you need to deal with bitterness. You don't cover it over. You don't bury it. You confess it. Today in the world we have UN peacekeepers. They may be able to keep two warring parties apart from each other. And very often that's how we often look at peace too. We have peace in our home. Yeah, we keep each other, we stay away from each other. That's how we keep peace. No. We need peace through Christ. He is our peace. He is the one who destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, Ephesians 2. Let us also seek this jewel of wisdom. Let our relationships be crowned with this jewel of wisdom, of peace. Do I seek it, peace with my spouse? Do I seek peace with the brothers and sisters in the congregation? The third jewel of wisdom here is to be considerate. Or, as it is listed here, gentle. This word in the Greek is it's somewhat difficult word to translate. It has a number of different meanings, like a diamond. As you look at it, it has different light shining from it. The idea of being considerate or gentle or mildness, reasonable, fair-minded, having kindness. This is the wisdom that is able to yield, not quick to demand. Do you look at this as a wise thing? As we think about gentleness, mildness, being considerate, these are not things that the world holds up as wisdom. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes to the Corinthians, and he says that he appeals to the Corinthians with the meekness and the gentleness. That word is the same here. The gentleness of Christ. I appeal to you with the gentleness of Christ. You see, gentleness, beloved, is not a jewel for weak people. It was Christ who was wisdom incarnate. He held this wisdom, this form of gentleness. When we think of Christ, when we think of our Lord and His gentleness towards us, as He came down for you and me, as He walked with sinners, as He taught those disciples for those few years, the gentleness of our Lord, the wisdom that He had. What a beauty it is when we think of the gentleness of Christ, His stooping down to us as sinners, His compassion for the lost. In all His divine power, He chose to display this gentleness, this divine virtue, in all His glory, in all His brilliance. Do we seek this? Pray for this. The fourth thing that is listed here is this theme of willing to yield. It's the idea of submissiveness. It's the idea of being open to reason. It's the idea of being easily persuaded. It's the idea of being willing to obey, willing to get along with one another, willing to defer to others. Are you able to submit? Are we able in wisdom to submit to one another? Wives, are you able in wisdom to submit to your husbands? People of God, are we in wisdom able to submit to those who God has put over us, as we submit to the elders, as we submit to the government? This is the way of wisdom, a wisdom that is from above. Christ displayed this submissiveness as He submitted to His Heavenly Father, to His Father's will. The fifth jewel that is displayed for us is this idea of being full of mercy and good fruit. Wisdom is known by her ways. When you think of who is the wise man, wisdom is known by her ways. And James earlier on, you remember at one point he talks about if you have a poor man and he asks for food and you just send him off and say, be warm, be filled, but you don't give him anything. And then he talks about how faith without mercy is dead. Faith without works is dead. We in our churches can get caught up with the idea that having knowledge in itself, that is all that we need. There's the wise person, he knows much. But are we able, people of God, to serve one another? Are we able to be full of mercy, as Christ was full of mercy, full of good fruit? Very often, people can be filled with wisdom, but they do nothing to serve the Church of Christ. They come, take a seat, and leave. But their lives are characterized by a deadness, a lack of mercy. And this is not wisdom, says James. They are full of mercy. Their hearts are overflowing with it. They are looking out for the needs of others. They are there. Their hearts are reaching out in love. They want to know. They want to hear what is going on. They want to serve. They want to sacrifice. You think of Proverbs 31, you know the passage, Proverbs 31, woman. A woman filled with wisdom, a woman filled with sacrifice, filled with mercy, filled with good fruit. It's a beautiful thing. Wisdom is a beautiful thing. She's a beautiful woman, the Proverbs 31 woman. The sixth thing that is listed here is this idea of being without partiality. True wisdom is impartial to the truth. It does not waver. It does not turn away. It does not go down the road of lies to, in order for something to work out in the interest of being pragmatic. It does not seek to just please the rich man who enters in and gets the good seat. Remember in the book of James, and the poor man, you sit over here. It seeks the truth, and it seeks to live out of the truth. The last jewel in the crown that we have here is this idea of being sincere in us. We are being restored by the Spirit as we grow in sanctification and holiness towards God. And we are real people. We are really living in this world. We have really been changed. And we seek, yes, we know the sin of our own hearts. Yes, we know that we fight against the old man. But we seek to walk in that way. We've sung as our first song from Psalm 1. This way of wisdom. The man who does not stand, who does not walk, who does not sit and in the ways of the fools. But the one whose delight is in the Word of God. We are without hypocrisy. That is what we are to seek. We are to be people who are real. Real in our confessions to one another. Real in our struggles. Real in living for Christ, who is our strength. That people might see Christ in us. Be real with the people around you, beloved. Be real in your loving. Be real in your communicating. The gospel transforms us. It does. Be encouraged. Maybe you think, you know what? I think I've been walking in the way of the fool. Confess it. God has a path, a way of wisdom for you and me. And it's a beautiful way, and it's a way that comes down from heaven to us to make us wise, to make us beautiful. Its origin is not from Oprah. You want the wisdom of the world? It's not from Oprah. It's not from Dr. Phil. It doesn't come from any magazine. It doesn't come from any TV show or convention on how to be successful. No, it comes from heaven. These are the jewels that God has for His people. Earthly wisdom brings strife, it brings division, it brings confusion. But God, He has something beautiful for us that brings peace and harmony and beauty. The Word of God is clear. Let us pray for wisdom. If you read the first chapter of James, He begins right away at the beginning of the chapter. In verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is the giver of these good things. Jealousy and strife would destroy our souls. They are the spiritual acid that would eat away at our hearts and at our relationships. that Christ is forging and refining. As we look at the last verse in verse 18, it tells us, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We might expect, when we think about that last verse, that the passage would say to sow righteousness and to reap peace. Does the passage say we sow in righteousness to reap peace? No, it says we sow in peace. And it is the fruit of it is righteousness. Sow in peace, brothers and sisters. Sow this wisdom in peace. Sow it with your lives. Sow it with your living. Show it in this meekness of humility as the gospel has come to you. Sow it. Sow it with your lives. Sow it with your actions. Sow it with your words. With sacrifice. With prayer. Older women, are you able to teach the younger women as Titus 2 says? Sowing wisdom. Fathers and mothers, let us continue to sow this jewel in the lives of our children. It's not easy. We do it prayerfully, a day at a time. But let us be communicating the word and let us be living this word before one another. Fathers, explain wisdom to your children, to your young men. Explain the book of Proverbs to them. Speak to them about true beauty, the beauty of wisdom. Young women, you seek beauty. You seek to be noticed. Christ has jewels that far surpass the pomp and show and attitude of the wisdom of the world today. Seek His beauty. Pray for His beauty. The beauty of Christ in you and Christ transforming your life. Young men, you seek strength. You seek respect. You seek to be established. The world's wisdom would have you established by your own might and by your own strength. I did it my way. On your own terms. But Christ tells us that we have to die to ourselves and live to Him. Find your purpose, the way of wisdom, in dying to yourself and living for Christ in a sacrificial way. Don't live for yourself. Live for Him. Find your purpose and glory in sacrificially living for the King. In the way of meekness, humility, and purity. Beloved, there is nothing more nobler, nothing more honorable, nothing more beautiful than to live for Christ, than to walk in the ways of wisdom of our King, who Himself is wisdom and who has poured this out for us. Let us desire this. Let us pray for this. Oh, the beauty of Christ. Beloved of the Lord, you are Christ's treasured possession. You are His bride. A bride that He seeks to make beautiful and radiant by His Word and Spirit. And God has put this treasure in us to make us this radiant bride. If you read Ephesians 5, it talks about how Christ came and got this bride and how now He's making her clean and beautiful for the wedding day. Oh, the beauty of Christ. Let us be on our guard when the world, when our friends, when our family would seek to sow this false wisdom into our lives. Let us watch out for this demonic way of thinking. Christ wants us to know His ultimate love for us. In His love, He has made us belong to Him. Colossians 2, verse 2 says to us, "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Christ is the source of these beautiful things. True faith seeks this wisdom. True faith says, look at what Christ has given to me. True faith is amazed by the gospel. Are you amazed by it? Are you amazed by the treasures of wisdom that God has given to you? Or are you, ho-hum, yadida, I'm kind of bitter, but don't really feel like dealing with it. Just going to sit there. Repent. Confess your sins. Do not harden your heart. Christ is something beautiful for us that frees us and liberates us from such ways of bondage. True faith seeks this in a humble way. God has given to us a holy identity. He has set us apart with promises that are everlasting, eternal. Let us seek this way. Let us pray for this way. It is a way of beauty. It is a way of liberation from the envy and strife of this world. When we see the wisdom of God in God's people, isn't it a beautiful thing? When we see that, who is wise and understanding among you, and we see this, and we see that God Himself has indeed placed this heavenly wisdom among us. See the jewels that God has laid upon our lives. Let us seek to grow in these things. Let us prayerfully seek the things that God has given to us. May we grow in these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.